Welcome back to the Curio Podcast. This week, our planned topic exploded inside of a dumpster fire on the side of the road. In a roundabout way, we'll be talking about connection and, unfortunately, separation.
We also got trapped in a wrinkle in time.
Okay.
All right. Here we are.
We're live. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
This is our second podcast.
Episode 2 of the Curio Podcast.
Ow!
Our engineers just left because we didn't want them staring at us.
Wow. And the door is closed and it's just...
It's just us. How are you doing today?
I'm okay. I'm a little frazzled. I'm a little scattered.
Mm-hmm.
My schedule today got derailed. Like, I made a plan this morning.
Right.
Because there were lots of moving parts to this day. And I made a plan, and all the moving parts moved in different directions. Not the directions I thought they were going to move. So by this afternoon at, like, 4 o'clock, I was, like,
on the edge.
I was on the edge, yeah. So I'm trying to kind of regroup and be here now and not... think about the future or the past.
Okay.
And I brought some treats for Ziggy, and they're all gone now.
So that noise you're hearing that sounds like a pig rooting around for truffles is actually Ziggy the dog. We'll put a picture of him up somewhere. You can see how scruffy he is. And he loves treats.
He's a handsome little devil.
So we had an idea this week to talk about... Wait, we're taking a picture of Ziggy. Hold on.
You can keep talking.
We had an idea this week that our topic would be the idea of connection and that we would talk about that. But some stuff has happened on the national scene that has me pretty upset. And I think my friend B, too... We're pretty upset about this. Oh, you got his butt.
I gotta turn that down. What the heck? sorry. Scatter. Yeah, there's a lot of bad stuff going on. A lot of things that are happening that are not believable.
Unbelievable.
They're
definitely.
Unbelievable. It's difficult. And we can tie this into connection.
Totally.
Because there has to be two sides to every coin.
Right. So the opposite of connection is separation.
Right.
And what I did, even though, you know, anecdotally I know about what a separation from a caretaker does to a child, we practiced attachment parenting. We attachedly parented each other's children.
Mm-hmm.
I just made up words right there.
That's okay. That's great.
But I went onto the government's website, the National Institutes of Health, and read their document about attachment and human development. And what it says about a mother-child separation for a week or longer within the first 2 years of life. And then it also had the category of it in the first 5 years of life. And I know not all of the kids being separated at the border are that young, but some of them are. And it doesn't matter when you're separated from your caretaker.
Especially under these circumstances.
It's not just a separation.
It's many of these families have traveled for months to get here. They don't know what's happening. They don't know that this is going to happen when they knock on our door. And I think it should be made clear that many of these people are refugees. They're leaving their homes because their homes are not safe. They're not coming here looking for anything but safety.
Right.
And to deny them that, not only deny them that, but to offer them more...
Violence.
Violence is despicable. It doesn't make sense. It's not the country... that I think America is.
Well, it is right now. And I'm fucking pissed. Anyway. So, here are some of the things that happens to a child by the age of 3 if they're separated for more than a week or more from their mother. Their reading ability declines permanently for the rest of their lives.
Okay.
This happens to their brains.
I had a question.
Go.
Under what circumstances? Would it be... So we're talking across the board. So if a mother is ill and in the hospital...
This is what they were looking at.
Okay.
In this particular study that they were referencing. Was like a hospital stay or a vacation or something like that. Like... completely separated from the mother, but not under the dire circumstances that are happening at the southern border. Not
okay.
Being separated and put into cages and no one hugging them and no one changing their diaper, etc.
The caretakers are not allowed to touch them.
Right.
They're not, which is, you know, I understand why.
You understand why, yeah.
But from the child's perspective, that's torture.
Torture. So, reading ability diminished. It causes emotional distress, obviously. A lower cognitive ability forever, mm-hmm. for the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm. Earlier sexual activity.
Okay.
Problems adjusting during adolescence, behavior problems, and... this one. Separations of a mother for more... Oh, separations of a mother before age 5... have been linked to increased symptoms of borderline personality disorder.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. Huh.
Not to mention what they, you know, and I barely wrote something down about what it does to parenting once they are reunited. It makes a parent less responsive, less sensitive to the child's needs forever, for the rest of their relationship. So I set out wanting to talk about some old white people getting together and talking and being connected in that way. But I went to the library to do research, and I'm looking at books and I'm looking at pictures, and they all look very glamorous in their outfits. And I just kept getting madder. I don't give a fuck about these old white people in this book right now. I'm really, really upset about these kids.
I am too.
I'm beyond upset. I'm in distress about it. So I don't want to talk about connection. I want to talk about separation. Ouch, it just hit my head. I don't know what to do.
Well, you're doing something right now. You're talking about it. We're connecting about it. And I think if we... I will talk about connection and the importance of it.
Okay.
Because I believe that it is one of the most important things a human being can experience. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about was not only the mechanics of physical connection, mm-hmm. which is found in nature with human beings everywhere. Train of thought. Hold on. But I had a conversation with my husband the other night about connection, and I said, look, think about it this way. Connection on a very basic level between a man and a woman under the right circumstances will create another human being.
Right.
So what happens is the mother carries this child, and then the child is born. And the hormones that are released in the mother's body ensure a connection is formed between the mother and that child. And it's
right.
So the child can survive. You know, it's not hard being a new, it's not easy being a new mom. It's very hard.
It's very difficult, yeah.
And you've got this new creature, and you need to feed it, and you need to care for it, and you need to hold it, and love it, and teach it, and look at it, and touch it, and take care of it. And the hormones that are released in a mother's brain, in her body, when she is nursing her baby, ensures that she's going to pick that baby up and nurse it again. And she's going to hold it. And she's going to love it. Now, that connection creates a bond.
Yep.
And that bond is essential for proper human development, cognitive development, like you just said.
Growth.
Physical growth. Physical growth. So when that bond is broken or is not created, I can think about somebody in my own life who was adopted and was not, she was in the orphanage until she was a year and a half old.
Wow.
So I, you know, she's gone now. I don't know how that affected her, but I've got some pretty good ideas.
Yeah.
So when you think about just the basics of life, of humanity, we are hardwired to connect.
Right.
From the physical aspect to so many other different ways. But as far as children are concerned, it's essential to their well-being.
To their very survival.
And when we deny them this, purposefully deny them this, obviously it's going to damage the child.
Right.
It will, in the long term, damage society.
And well, that's part of what's happening right now. I mean, colonialists have been doing this from the beginning of time. Vikings did it. The English did it. The Spanish government did it to Mexico. They come in and you separate the children. The American government did it to the Native Americans. You separate the children, you create a whole generation of people who don't trust their parents. They don't trust you. They're ill-equipped to survive.
And I would guess that they don't develop a very keen sense of empathy or sympathy.
So all these things that Trump is trying to say about MS-13 coming, he's creating that.
He is creating them. I thought of that the other day. I thought, you've just damaged an entire generation of refugees. These people do not see the United States as the land of opportunity. They see us as evil.
Yeah.
And are these people, how are these people going to act out in the future, and how will that damage our country?
And how is it damaging all of us? I know I went to therapy today, gutted. And I told her, I'm fine in my head, but the noises you're hearing are Ziggy running around the studio.
Ziggy's rooting around. He's looking for some unknown
Ziggy, things. Get over here and sit down. But I'm gutted, and she assured me that I wasn't the only one, that basically almost everyone she was seeing lately is tore up about this. Imagine the stress. And I'm speaking from a place of privilege, of course. Mm-hmm. This is my perception of reality, and it doesn't matter as much as what those kids are going through, but I'm stressed out and fucked up over it, and I can't even imagine being a mother whose child is torn away from her and put into a cage, and then they're losing them. They have no idea where they are.
I can't.
It's too upsetting.
I can't even go there. How horrific to have your young child taken away from you.
In
any child, but a 12-year-old, you think, well, they can take care of themselves. I can, you know what I mean?
Right.
You can take care of yourself. You can remember me. I've given you these tools the past 12 years of your life. But a 2, 3, 4, 5-year-old child, they don't have those tools.
No.
They're looking for them. They're desperately craving those tools. Our job as caregivers and parents and grandparents is to provide them with those tools so that they can be successful, compassionate adults who are productive members of society. You know,
mm-hmm.
We can't expect these children to come out of this not traumatized. And that's the piece that's missing. There's a small fraction of people that are talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
The Trump is blaming the Democrats. I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense.
Up is down, down is up.
It makes no sense. I have heard multiple news sources conservative and liberal say this has nothing to do with the Democrats. Right. This is your policy that you created. You are the one acting on this. This is your doing.
Right.
This is not the Democrats. They have nothing to do with this. The only way that I can see the Democrats have anything to do with this is that Trump's holding these children hostage and basically saying, fund my wall and I will stop this. I will stop doing this.
Right.
And the fact that he knows he can stop it. We know he can stop it.
Everyone on earth knows he can stop it.
His followers do not know he can stop it. The information that's coming out of that camp is very, very, very different.
It's disturbing.
They show clean, tidy rooms with neatly made beds. They show signs in English and Spanish. Mind you, some of these children don't speak Spanish. They speak Portuguese. They speak other languages. Right. So their caretakers can't even communicate with them.
Right.
So, but their camp isn't getting that information, or they choose not to hear it, or they choose to argue with it and say, no, this is what they're doing is illegal and they need to be punished. And it's,
how would you know it was illegal if you're walking through the desert for months?
Exactly.
Do you have Twitter in the desert? Do you have a TV? You're just looking for safety.
That's the other thing, is that the assumption is that these refugees have this wealth of information about the United States of America. I would go out on a limb and guess that most of the information that they've got about this country has been word of mouth, because I'm going to guess they don't have cell phone plans.
They might.
Or iPads.
Right.
They might. Maybe their relatives are paying for them in a different country, but I imagine these people as refugees.
Yeah.
They come with what's on their back.
In other words, humans.
They're human beings who are looking for a safe place to be.
Which is what humans do.
Right.
I feel like...
we like to be safe.
The people who are believing what Trump is saying right now have decided... and, you know, this has been illustrated throughout history when one group oppresses another one. They've decided that anyone south of the border of the United States is not human. They don't consider anyone that has brown skin human. And I don't understand. I'm disgusted by that. I get trying to, like, I don't get it. Never mind. I feel like if we could get them to... never mind. That won't work either. I feel like if we could get them to see the humanity of it all. A border is an arbitrary line in the sand. It's not real. Not real, real. Humans are nomadic. They have been traveling since the beginning of humanity to survive, to find things to eat, to do better for their children. All of us. Us lucky bastards were just lucky enough to be born here already. That doesn't give us the right to decide that other people aren't human. Nobody's taking their fucking jobs. Oh! Ziggy.
No.
Did you see a ghost? What is it? Get over here.
Ooh, he's doing the barking at imaginary things deal, huh?
Yeah. Barks at imaginary squirrels and...
hey, Zig. Come here, dude.
Sorry, I'm mad at you. I'm just mad.
I know.
I'm just looking at you.
I know. That's okay. That's cool. I know you're not mad at me. Oh, I get it. It's, I think... this could be the bad side of connection. I was thinking about this on the way over today, because the past few days I've been very excited about connection. And I have thought every fluffy, exciting, beautiful, perfect thing about it. But today, I must have sensed your angst.
Yeah.
Does he want to go out?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, Zigalo.
Sorry, guys. Our studio's in the backyard, and there are squirrels and coyotes back there that he needs to commune with, I guess.
Should I leave it?
You could probably leave it open, yeah.
Leave it open so he can
It'll close. Just, you have to push it all the way open and then it'll stay open.
Oh, okay.
We're just going to get a nice breeze. Hi, Asha.
Hey.
We'll call you in a minute for color commentary.
Cool. I'm
going
to be watching a movie.
Okay.
Or photos. You can call me for photos.
Should we do it right now with the light? Nah. Anyway.
We've got time for photos.
Okay, so you were really excited about this week.
So I was really excited about this topic, and I talked to people, and I was, like, really jazzed about it. I'm on a Facebook group of a bunch of women, and they're all very authentic. There's no catty BS. It's a very small group. And so I asked them the question, what makes you feel connected? And I got lots of really cool answers. I talked to the guy at Osh, the manager at Osh. I was just really excited.
Yeah.
So I talked to lots of different people, but like I said, today is today the darker side of connection started to kind of creep into my mind. And one of those things is that, you know, we just talked about being connected to a parent or caregiver or mother, and then what happens when that doesn't happen?
Right.
And people, we need to be connected. We're hardwired that way. We need to.
Why'd you open the door?
Because Ziggy wanted out, and so we just left it open so he could come in and out.
Can I make him come in and out of the back door?
Yeah.
Sound comes.
Yeah, it does.
Through this.
Okay.
Can you hear the Mexican record in there?
I can't hear it, but I'm sure the microphone's
recorders
picking it up.
Can hear it.
Oh.
Asha's making ghetto nachos, so we put on a mariachi record.
Nice.
Come on, Ziggy. Come here.
Oh, Lord, help us. So when we don't have a good, healthy connection, we're going to seek it somewhere else. We're going to look for it somewhere else. We are going to look for that connection. You know where I'm going with this, right?
Addiction.
We can connect to objects, to addiction, to rituals. We can connect to political parties. We can connect to ideals that are not ideal.
So, for instance,
the idea that these people need to be put in cages. There's a tribe out there.
It is a tribe, yeah.
There are different tribes. And throughout history, that's how we roll. We move among the tribes. We were nomadic creatures of the earth, and then all of a sudden, we figured out how to build shelters and farm, and we suddenly had a space to defend. We had something to lose. So when you have something to lose, you want to gather people together to protect it,
right?
So you've got these communities. And that's what's happening in America. We want to, there's a chunk of Americans that want to protect this country. I don't know from what exactly, but I get the sense that it's you know, make America great again, America first. We're gonna throw down tariffs. We're gonna shut our borders. We're gonna isolate ourselves. Because we need to protect this space. Keep in mind, we're also destroying this space and the world. So what the fuck?
What are we protecting?
But so when I think when those connections are formed, those unhealthy connections are formed, we get conflict. And we get the opposite of connection because if people are going to band together and connect and protect one thing, then they have just by doing so created outsiders.
Ugh.
So you can't, it's a really difficult concept, I think, to wrap one's head around entirely. But I believe it's also another part of human nature. It's also
so
part of how we're hardwired. I have a baby that I am connected to, and you better not touch my fucking baby.
Right.
I'm going to protect this baby. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like rooting for a football team and deciding that everybody who roots for the other football team
is bad.
Is an idiot. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's tribalism.
So it's tribalism. And we have that in full effect in our country. And it's not unnatural, I don't think. I don't know that it's productive or helpful, especially in a global society.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we're moving so far away from the need to have tribes. We're one big, not even that big. We're on a fucking little tiny rock on the edge of the Milky Way, at the edge of the universe. We're all on one piece of rock.
It's a flat rock, too. Did you know that?
I hear.
Sorry.
I don't. That's a touchy subject around here.
If the earth was flat, Donald Trump would have condos on the edge, right? Am I right? Jesus, Mary, Tom, Dick, and Harry. So I think what needs to happen is we need to stop protecting our spaces, and we need to start protecting our ideas and ourselves. So we can't isolate ourselves and be successful in the world.
No.
And I'm speaking about America in general.
Yes, I agree.
We can't do that. It's not going to happen. We're flirting with economic issues right now. Big, fat, ugly.
Oh, it's coming.
Recessive.
Yeah, yeah.
Bad things with all these tariffs. And our friends, our international friends now are like, you guys are nut jobs.
Right.
I ain't playing with you anymore.
Right.
We're going to go over to this sandbox. You all do your own thing over there.
And they're all rolling their eyes over at the other sandbox.
And they are.
Yeah.
They're rolling their eyes. Because pretty soon, we're going to have a big, giant fucking Cheeto standing on a hill of sand all by himself, proclaiming he's the king of the world.
I was going to say, he is creating a situation that's going to further inflame his base to isolate, to decide that others are bad and brown people are evil. He's creating the situation with his tariffs.
Liberals are evil too.
Right.
Don't forget that.
Anyone who disagrees with you is evil and excuse me.
So I think that there are opportunities to connect throughout all of this, and I think it's already happening.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, compassion is a wonderful thing, and I can't remember what I was going to say. I'm sorry.
Compassion is really easy for some people, I think. And maybe this situation will push people to find some.
Right.
I mean, how could you look at look at little kids in cages knowing that their mothers have been torn away from them and not have a little bit of compassion for that? Imagine yourself in that scenario.
Right.
Or, I don't know,
that's where the separation's going to come and the connections are, you know, people like you and I and many, many, many people that I know are upset about this.
Yeah.
And that will bring people together in a different way.
Right.
You know, we're not protecting a space or an environment. We're protecting an idea.
Well, and beyond an idea, we want to protect those children.
We want to protect those children.
And those mothers. I can't even imagine.
I can't either.
Well, I had a thought this morning after I cried that if we're really concerned about people coming to our country, let's just say we're all concerned about people coming to our country illegally, wouldn't we do everything that we had in our power, everything that we could in our power, to maybe help those countries bring their own people up? Help with infrastructure or trade or, like, they're basically our brothers, especially here in Southern California. I mean, I have several family members that are from Mexico, friends, all that. They're right there. Like, these are our, we're on one big strip of land. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Everyone on Earth is our brother and our sister, but especially between the United States and Mexico, there's a lot of crossover there. And what I wish is that we had some system in place to help people rather than, I don't know what I'm trying to say, put them in cages.
I think I know what you're saying. I think I understand.
Like fixing the root of the problem instead of just deciding that the problem isn't our problem. Because we're all humans. And Americans, individually, are very compassionate and generous people. We always want to help. Like if you went to every person you know and said, there are starving children here, can you help? Yes, how much, you know, I can give you this much this month. I mean, Americans are very compassionate people, but our fucking government, I guess it's, I'm feeling very hopeless right now.
I understand that too.
Okay.
And it's scary. It's scary to think, you know, I grew up with this Pollyanna idea of America and how Americans were and the American dream and... You know, we've gotten through all these trials and tribulations as a nation, and we defeated, you know, the Nazis, and we did this and we did that. And as I grow older, I learn that, you know what, we've done some stupid, fucked up things.
Yeah.
And, but those ideals are still there. That feeling is still there.
Yes.
Like, we can get the bad guys.
Right.
There's the connection again. I want to be a good guy. I don't want to be a bad guy.
Right.
So I make value judgments about what is good and bad. And so does everybody else.
Yeah.
But other people have different ideas about what is good and bad. Other people get different information from different sources that tell them what is good and bad. And when the information is tainted, when the information is bad, when the information is not information, but it's opinion.
Right.
And it's designed to be manipulative.
Mm-hmm.
We lose our way.
Right.
So it's easy to say that it is not okay to separate mothers and their children or fathers and their children. It is not okay. But then you throw in, oh yeah, but they're trying to break into our country illegally.
Right.
No, they're knocking on the door.
Right.
And they're saying, can we come in? And we open the door and we snatch their kids and we send them to one cage and we send their kids to the other. And these, sorry, tangent.
No. So that's why we're here. And
but there are basic truths in this world, in this universe. And we have to get behind those ideals. And I think we have to go back to the very, very, very basics and stand up for those things and come together and connect over those things.
Right.
And when we do that, we can become stronger.
Yeah.
But the media right now in America...
Well, everything's such a shit show. It's like nobody knows which way is up right now because every day is a dumpster fire. Every single day.
Right. Yeah, and then you have some news sources who just want to talk about the alligator that ate some lady's foot.
Right.
You know what I mean? I go through my news feed on my double box here, and it's like hardcore scary economic story, hardcore, you know, human rights story, hardcore this, that, and the other thing. And there are particular news sources that inevitably go for the weird, dramatic clickbait.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And on both sides of the aisle, both sides.
Well, you could say both sides of the aisle, but all of our news sources come from like six companies. You know what I mean? Like they're controlling everything. And all they care about is getting you to click on something for ad revenue.
I have a rabbit hole about a weird news media thing that happened at our house too, but we can do that later.
Okay, go ahead.
We get the LA Times.
Right.
I love their photos. They've got great photos. We get the LA Times, and recently we started getting the Epoch Times. Have you seen that? So
no.
With on the days that on Sundays we get the LA Times, and the Epoch Times comes with it.
Oh,
in a separate
bag. I was getting the LA Times for about a year, but I let it go because they were just piling up.
This has only happened the past 2 weeks.
Okay, yeah.
So the other night I'm like, well, what the hell? Why are we getting this free newspaper? And I asked my husband, I said, Paul, what's up with this? And he's all, you know, it's pretty right-leaning.
Uh-huh.
They're pretty pro-Trump. And I said, that's odd that it's coming with the LA Times, which is notoriously liberal.
Right.
So I open up the newspaper and I'm reading it. Sure enough, he's right. It's got a lot of loaded language.
Uh-huh.
But most of what they're reporting is true as far as I can tell.
But just slanted in
just,
a way.
Loaded, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of misleading headlines and opinions. And anyway. So I did a little research. The Epoch Times was originally an online magazine back in 2001, 2003.
Right.
I think it was an odd number back in the 2000s.
Back in the W era?
So it was online. It was first published in Chinese. And then it started to morph. And now it's being distributed in the United States. Nobody knows who the owner is. Nobody knows who funds it.
What?
It's not published. At least Wikipedia said, basically,
we have no idea.
We don't know who's funding this newspaper.
And it's coming inside of your LA Times?
Nope. It's in a separate bag. But it's coming with the LA Times.
Oh, so whoever's distributing them is also just giving you that free one every
exactly.
Once in a while.
So I'm like, I think the people who deliver the papers are kind of free agents.
Yeah.
So Epoch Times could come up to them and find all of the delivery people.
Right.
And say, hey, we're going to pay you an extra, you know, $100 a day if you throw this out with the LA Times. No harm, no foul, right? It's a free country.
Except you didn't ask for it.
Except I didn't ask for it. Now, the LA Times just recently was purchased.
Right.
By a Chinese man.
Oh.
So I'm not going to get all racial here, but I find that coincidence interesting, to say the least. So I would like to know where the hell this newspaper is coming from.
Interesting.
I want to know where it's coming from and why it's coming to my house.
Right.
I don't want any more waste in my home than I already have. How much plastic and paper? Anyway.
I know. When I subscribed to the LA Times, it was after Trump got elected, and I wanted to make sure that I was giving my money to someone that could continue to tell the truth. But the newspapers were just piling up, and, you know, I'd read
right.
the first couple pages, and
yeah.
and it felt so wasteful.
So that made me suspicious at best. You know, we don't know who's funding this free newspaper.
Right.
That's coming to our house. And who else is getting it?
Right.
People who subscribe to USA Today? I don't know. I want to find out. I want to find out who else is getting that newspaper.
I wonder if you could call the LA Times and ask them who distributes in your area.
That's a great idea. I think I could call the LA Times and say, hey, what's up with this newspaper? It comes every time your paper comes.
Right.
Maybe you guys should do a little investigative reporting about this.
Oh, Ziggy brought us his favorite toy all the way from inside the house.
Wow, Zig.
Oh, very good. He's a good boy.
So, I wrote down some phone numbers for people
okay.
to call and leave comments. You know, if you don't like children being separated from their mothers and kept in cages,
right.
you could call and comment. If you do, I mean, whatever, but you're probably not listening to us right now.
if you don't...
If you don't mind children
oh,
being held in cages.
Right,
yeah,
you probably hate us.
Yeah.
You probably really hate us a lot because we don't think that it's okay to keep children in cages away from their mothers.
Yeah.
Or in cages with their mothers, for that matter.
Right. So the douchebag that announced the zero tolerance policy in the first place.
Keebler Troll?
Keebler Troll Beauregard. Mr. Sessions. Mr. He doesn't deserve that. You can call the Department of Justice comment line at 202-353-1555.
What, once again?
Oh, it's 202-353-1555. It's a recording, so you don't have to have, like, anxiety about having to tell a person to fuck off. You can just tell the comment line that you don't agree with keeping children in cages, and maybe they could fuck off. Not the children, the Department of Justice.
The Department of Injustice.
The White House comment line is 202-456-1111. When I tried to call that one today, it was just busy, like beep, 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 right away. So I don't know if they have it off because there are too many people calling or they're just too many people calling. But I encourage more people to call. Let's keep it busy forever. The number for Department of Homeland Security, which ICE falls under, their phone number is 202-282-8000. And that's... those are the main numbers to call. There are rallies being formed. You can find all that information online. Here in LA, the next one, the big one, is Saturday, July 21st. It's called Families Belong Together in MacArthur Park. It starts at 10 a.m. I'll be there, unless it's like 105 degrees, and then I'll just be supporting online. But either way, I'm going to be getting involved. I'm thinking about just making a sign and going to the corner in my town here. Mm-hmm.
It's hard to just sit and do nothing.
I know that I'm a person that tends towards depression, anxiety, and not doing something will make me feel worse about it. So I'm going to do something. And I hope that you guys do too. Please.
You know, I often wonder, in America... You guys may not have noticed this, but money talks.
What?
Money talks in America.
What is its accent?
Huh?
What is money's accent?
It's whatever the devil speaks. And Anyway, money talks.
Yes.
And we can talk with our wallets. We can talk with our bank accounts. And I often think, you know, what if we said... You know what? Until you let all those children go, we're not shopping at Walmart anymore.
Well, I don't shop there anyway. But.
I don't either. But what if, I mean, it would take an enormous effort by a lot of people, very coordinated and very precise.
Well, I mean, look what happened after the massacre in Parkland. People went after the sponsors of the NRA, and they...
Right, that's right.
Yeah. That was very effective, and I feel like...
I think that's when... Did Walmart stop selling guns?
No, they did something else. That was Dick's Sporting Goods. Dick's they sporting stopped goods. Selling the automatic...
Big Five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Walmart did something, but I can't remember. It wasn't very big. It was just, you know, a token gesture, but...
They took bump stocks off the shelf.
Yeah, probably something like that. We won't sell bump stocks to people under 18 or something stupid. But so that protest
can, like,
was...
buy those at retail. Anyway.
Buy what retail?
Bump stocks. I don't think you can buy those retail. I think they're...
Oh, I wouldn't know. I don't know.
Me neither. I'll have to look into that.
I don't want to go down that rabbit hole.
Nope.
So no, I agree with you that... I mean, there's already lists going around the internet about companies that are vendors for these detention centers for children. You know, the people that are the bus lines that are taking the children to different...
Oh, what's the bus line? Do we know?
I can find all that information and give it to you, and we can put it up on the website or the...
That would be great.
The Facebook or the Instagram,
yeah,
or the...
Because those are the people... Those are the people who will cower in the face of losing money.
Maybe.
I think they will.
I think there's
a large coordinated effort to withhold, I mean, that's their livelihood. You want to see somebody's stock drop?
Right.
You get...
But if you're in the business of providing services to detention centers for children, and the only people in that game is the U.S. government...
Right.
I mean, you're going to stay in that game no matter what happens, right? I don't know. I think people are circulating lists. I will find one for you and make sure that, those vendors are correct. I think that it's going to take everyone to remain aware of what's happening. Keep calling your senators and your representatives. Keep letting Jefferson Beauregard Sessions know that you think he's a troll. And
where I get hung up is that I just don't think he fucking cares. I don't think any of them care. I think they are soulless garbage monsters.
I agree with you, but when there is a wave of anger coming at them, they have to do something. They have to.
Do what? Tell us some more lies to get us to shut up?
Well, I'm not stopping.
Show some... That's where I get really dejected and I start to lose hope.
They want you to be dejected and to lose hope.
This is true.
They're hoping that we're all going to get burned out soon, right before they decide whatever the big thing is that's coming. I'm sure it's, you know, we're all going to have ankle monitors or something stupid, but...
We already do. They're called these. It's our phones. Did I tell you what happened to me this morning?
You did not?
Okay, so I did post this on Facebook because it freaked me out so bad. So yesterday at work...
Oh, you did. I saw it on Facebook, yes.
I'm at work at my work computer on our own ISP address, different carrier, whole nine yards, everything.
Right.
And I'm searching for a oddball thing for work on Amazon through our Amazon business account through work. Right? Not my personal account. Nothing. I'm searching for this oddball thing. Whatever. Didn't buy it there. Bought it somewhere else. I get up this morning and I think, oh yeah, I need to get dog food or whatever the hell it was. So right. I flip open my freaking device and I pull up my Amazon app and it has your recent searches. And it has the oddball weird thing from work. Now, different device, different ISP address, different everything.
Account.
Different account, everything.
Different physical space.
Different physical space. How the fuck did they know that?
Now, on your work computer, were you signed into something like Facebook or...
Nope. No, I never Facebook or work. I don't do any of that. Your butt is so sensitive, Ziggy. You really need some...
You should stop playing with the dog's butt, Kim. Let me redo that. You should stop playing with the dog's butt, B.
Butt B. So that freaked me out. And that doesn't... that.
You don't get freaked out that easy? Yes, you do.
Well, yeah. I'm kind of prone to conspiracy theories and stuff. But that was a little too much.
I agree.
Do you know, it was like that time we were driving to the Natural History Museum for the tattoo show. We're going to be late. And we were talking about where we would go in London. Remember that conversation? Oh, yeah, I want to go to England. And I want to go here and there. And I want to see the blah, blah, blah. We were talking about all the things that we would do in London or England in general. And we were going to be late. We're sitting in traffic.
Yeah, I remember that part.
That's what you do here in Southern California. Sit in fucking traffic.
It's a pastime.
So I pull up my phone to see how far it is on my Maps app, my just generic iPhone apps map, pull it up to find out where we are and how far away from the Natural History Museum we are.
Right.
I type in Natural History Museum. It takes me to the Natural History Museum in London. Do you remember that?
I don't, but I believe you.
That fucking happened. And we were both like, well, that's weird.
We're late. You know,
we're late, but whatever. Just call them and make sure we can still get in because we're like
that. I wonder if
you
have some kind of weird, like,
chip
setting in your
fucking head. Probably. I tell my kids all the time, don't ever let them put a chip in you because one day they will try. They've already started.
Well, they've started.
It.
Yeah, yeah.
But
they.
I think it was, yeah.
I think you need to check the settings on your phone. Make sure you've got...
It wasn't my phone.
It wasn't your phone?
Well, it was with the...
what do you want to talk about?
It was my phone when we were going to the Natural History Museum.
Right.
But with Amazon...
No, I
it
know.
It wasn't my phone. Because my phone was with me at work. So maybe...
Ziggy wants to talk about it.
Ziggy, do you like to get treats on Amazon?
What do you want to talk about? You want to tell her? Tell her. He'll only talk when it's really, like, inconvenient, not when we want him to.
You're one of those, aren't you, Ziggy?
He's like, remember that old cartoon where there was the singing frog, but he would only sing for the one guy? You don't remember that
one? It's a really old cartoon.
Yeah, it's a Looney Tunes. It's,
right.
Yeah, and he would only sing for that one guy, and the guy would, like, open the box to show someone, like, no, the frog sings, and the frog would just go ribbit. That's what Ziggy's like.
That's what Ziggy does, huh, Zig?
He can hear his name? He's a good boy.
Are you a good boy?
Who's a good boy?
Ziggy. I feel connected to Ziggy. Hello.
Yeah, you guys have a very special connection.
We do.
Yeah.
He's my buddy.
I'm telling you, he's like your spirit guide.
He really is.
Except he's not a spirit.
Also, like, he himself has, like doggy anxiety.
Oh.
Which is hilarious. Like, I don't know.
So he doesn't think so.
But when I took him to the dog behaviorist person, he was talking about all the different things we could do to, like, help Ziggy with his anxieties, you know, like thunder shirts and pheromone sprays and retraining certain behaviors and all that. And the more time he spent with Ziggy, he was like, you know, some people, they will, you know, you can take your dog to the vet, and there's always the option of, you know, medication. That's what he said.
Whispering it like it's like...
like he's going to offend Ziggy.
Don't tell Ziggy he needs special meds. That's okay, Zig. Soji has special meds.
She does?
Yeah.
Oh, for anxiety?
Yeah.
For all the time or just during stressful situations?
Like, 4th of July.
Oh, yeah.
We left on Sunday for the day, and she got out. I don't know how. She must have weaseled through the slats in the fence.
Oh, poor baby.
Yeah,
something must have freaked her out.
She ended up on the south side of a busy street. I mean, like, she went far.
Who found her?
This really super nice couple in a house on a street. He saw her running around, and I guess he got a treat, and she ran right up to him and hunkered down, and they brought her into the house, and she was so happy to be with them, and they posted on Nextdoor that they had found this dog, and this woman picked it up who had a scanner. Back to the chip idea.
Yeah.
So they brought her, they jumped through some hoops. We need to give them a gift card or something.
Right.
They took her to the neighboring town to get scanned.
Oh my God.
So they drove her over there and had her scanned, and then they found us. And so the woman with the scanner called and said, hey, we've got Soji, you know, blah, blah, blah. So we hightailed it home, and we went over and picked her up. And the woman said she was happy as a clam, just curled up in a little dog ball right next to her. They were
puppy.
The sweetest couple. They were so friendly and nice, and they had their own dogs, and I hugged them. I hug people that I don't know a lot, and I don't care. I just don't care.
Did I ever tell you about the lady I hugged in a parking lot? This is a funny story. So we're talking, and she was one of those people that comes up to you in the parking lot and says that they need bus money to get somewhere.
Oh, okay.
And so I was just, like, inquiring more about her life. Like, well, where are you going? What's happening? You know, I know it's mostly usually a scam. She's telling me she's homeless, and I was telling her about Union Station in Pasadena, blah, 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 and we're just talking, and I give her a couple bucks or whatever, because even if she doesn't really need gas money or bus money, she needs money, obviously.
She needs something, yeah.
And I just hugged her, and she said, oh, don't hug me, I have bed bugs.
Oh, no. Oh.
And I was like, oh, God. And I think I've...
fucked up!
Or she said I could have bed bugs. That's what she said. Don't hug me,
I
could have
bed bugs. Did you hug her more when she said that? Because you know what?
No, I really did get freaked out. And then later I was like, I wonder why she said that. But so.
That's got to be a burden. Can you imagine? I've got bed bugs.
Having to tell people?
Don't hug me.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Speaking of connection.
Right.
Poverty causing a lack of connection.
Yeah.
I do have a story about connection from this week that's kind of cool.
Is it a good one?
Yes. It's a happy story.
Happy? Okay.
So it starts out not happy. My family, my dad's family, very fractured, always fighting and not talking to each other, blah, blah, blah. My aunt, who I've probably talked to before, she lives up in Seattle. Mm-hmm. I love her. She's like one of the greatest humans that ever lived. But I didn't know her until I was an adult. I think I was living with you the second time when I reached out to her because I had started to get interested in genealogy, and my mom said, well, your aunt has a lot of that information. Well, my whole life growing up, we were told that she was a bad person, that she was a terrible child, she was a troublemaker, she sassed my grandparents, blah, 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 blah. And everybody, she was shunned from our family, basically.
Oh, man.
In the meantime, she moved to the Pacific Northwest. She got married. She had 3 kids. And when I became an adult, I started writing her letters. And we mm-hmm. would write letters back and forth to each other, which eventually led to phone calls, which eventually led to a visit.
Time out.
Yes.
This is back when people wrote letters to each other. Not emails, not texts. But that's another kind of connection.
Yes.
To actually pull out a piece of paper and a pen and mindfully sit down
and spend time.
Write a letter.
Right.
And put it in an envelope and address it and mail
which
it.
Which I still do to this day.
Yes, you do.
As more of a hobby, but I still do it because it makes me feel more connected to that person
connected.
That I'm.
Yeah.
Okay. So, time in. She and I have had this relationship going back and forth. We visit each other from time to time. And I had gone up there once with my husband and my son before my daughter was born and visited with my family, but not my oldest cousin. His name is Dewey. I met him while I was there, but we don't know each other.
Okay.
So, but when I was a baby, we lived actually with her when my parents were having some trouble. My mom and I, when I was a baby, lived with her and with them.
Okay.
She protected us. Oh. She like protected us with a gun.
Wow.
From him. I told you the story doesn't start out so great, but anyway, my aunt got sick. She has diabetes and she had to have, she almost died. And my dad and I drove up from LA to Seattle to the hospital. We went straight to the hospital after driving for, you know.
Did you drive straight through?
Well, we stopped in Eugene for the night.
Okay.
Which good. Was funny because my dad's headboard on his bed fell off. Eugene is where the University of Oregon is and
right.
their sports team is called the Ducks. Uh-huh. The headboard fell off and on the piece of wood attached to the wall where the headboard was attached to it.
Uh-huh.
It just was written in Sharpie, fuck the Ducks. Anyway, so we drive, we go straight to the hospital, and my cousin and his wife, Shelly, Dewey mm-hmm. and Shelly, they come to the hospital because we are going to be staying at my aunt's apartment while she's in the hospital.
Okay.
So he and I had never had a conversation before. We didn't know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Whoops. And we talk a little bit that night when he drops us off at the apartment, explains things to us, gives us the keys. We'll see you later. We saw him a couple more times at the hospital. Very short conversations, but when we left, we had to leave. They were actually wheeling her out of her room back into intensive care.
Oh.
And the doctor had told us, we're just making her comfortable at this point.
Oh, no.
Now, she's one of my favorite people in the world. I am beyond devastated.
Right.
And
oh, golly.
My cousin Tam, who I knew better than Dewey, she said, I'll keep you updated. And Dewey said, I'll keep you updated. So we exchanged mm-hmm. cell phone numbers.
Okay.
And we left there, and I burst into tears. And,
yeah.
you know, it was awful. But from that point on, Dewey and I started to text each other. And I feel like what we discovered about each other was that we're actually a lot alike. And he's very clever and funny and smart and sweet and gentle.
You're a lot alike.
Right.
Modest. Humble.
Modest. Beautiful. No. Look, I'm trying to learn to love myself.
Well, you should love yourself. You're an awesome person.
And so is he. And I never knew him. And so he texted me and said, you know, Shelley and I are driving down the coast. Can we stop at your house? And I was like, yeah. And this was like a month ago. And I had almost forgotten about it or was wondering when he was going to contact me. I didn't know if he wanted to stay here. I didn't know what the situation was. And so he contacted me and he said, we're near Sequoia. We'll be on our way in the morning. And I was
Sequoia?
Like...
Sequoia National Park?
Yeah, they had gone to the Sequoias.
It's not on the coast.
No, they had gone inland to see... they had gone in to see Reno.
Okay.
They went and stayed in Reno and then went to the Sequoias.
Okay.
And then came down here, went...
And then they'll... Okay.
And back up.
Got
anyway.
It.
So I said, well, where are you staying? Are you staying here? Mm-hmm. And he said... well, near there? I don't know. We haven't figured it out. And I just said, no, you're staying here. When they got here, it was a little awkward, but I feel this weird connection with him. And we ended up going out and getting them some Mexican food, some like authentic, you know, hole in the wall Mexican food. And driving around, we went and saw the Rose Bowl and the statue of Jackie Robinson and all that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was fun. You know, they left the next day. But we had lots of cool conversations, and they hung out with Asha, my niece, too. Mm-hmm. And after they left, Asha was sitting at the table with me, and she goes, Dewey is so sweet and so nice. I said, he really is. And she goes, I really like him. And I go, I do, too. And she said, you know who he reminds me of? And I was like, and I knew exactly what she was going to say because I was already feeling it. Mm-hmm. And she goes, he reminds me of you. Mm-hmm. And I just thought to myself, how weird is that?
To have that connection with somebody that you...
I didn't even really know.
Yeah.
We're connected by DNA. Yeah. And we have a connection. I was telling my husband, like, I feel like, you know, there are certain people, like, I feel that with you, where we're on a... And I know I'm going to sound immodest again, but, like... You know, you feel like you're on a level playing field, maybe intellectually, I can talk to you and you're going to understand what I'm saying.
Right, yeah.
And more than just us knowing each other for a really long time, it comes from, you know, we have similar, I don't know.
I think that's it. You know, some people have similar interests and they have a history or DNA. Who knows what connections are made from things that we cannot see or sense or know about.
Right.
We have these senses, you know, we can see things and hear them and smell them, taste them. But I believe that there's a whole gaggle of other ones that are floating around in there that might just surface every once in a while.
A gaggle of senses.
A gaggle of mystery senses.
That's my new band name. We'll be at Coachella next year.
It sounds weird and wacky, but I think it's absolutely plausible. You know, the mantis shrimp.
Oh, I've heard about the mantis shrimp. I have a child that likes to study these things.
Go ahead. The mantis shrimp has things that we don't have.
They can see. We need Ella in here because Ella knows exactly what you're talking about.
The mantis shrimp is some heavy duty stuff.
Right.
So, who's to say that there isn't, like, you know, you have red hair, other people have red hair, I have brown hair, other people have brown hair. Maybe you have something else that Dewey has, and you guys can identify that.
Right.
On a subconscious level, or on a level that has nothing to do with consciousness. And I'm talking kind of out of my butt right now. This is a fully formed idea.
You don't have any scientific data to back up your claim.
I know this, that there is a lot of stuff that I don't know and that other people don't know either.
Right.
And I never, ever, ever will discount mystery or weirdness as being a possibility.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
That's true.
And I agree with you. I feel like there's a bunch of stuff coming down the pike we don't even know about yet. Zicky's running around as though somebody's coming. Who's there?
Follow us on all of your social media doodads at Curio Podcast.